Good morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Wednesday, October the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2020. Let's see, a prayer for protection seems appropriate. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires, incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's see, I do have my coffee at hand. It's a breakfast blend, something I picked up at Woodman's. Can't remember the brand. Sipping on with just some half and half, trying to cut the sugar out of that. It's really good. I did not have the best night. We just got news yesterday that they're going back into some lockdown procedures and shutting down restaurants and bars effective Friday in our western suburbs of Chicago. And it's just so 2020. You know, no events over 25 people or something. I don't know how big our Thanksgiving plans were, but I don't think they were bigger than that. So, but some large families, that could put a real crimp in plans. Any hoosies, that question seems appropriate today. We are on page 41 of the Catechism, question 61. How do Jesus' sufferings help you? Jesus has experienced our sufferings, understands our sorrows, and is able to sympathize with our weakness. Therefore, I should bear my sufferings with perseverance and hope, for my Savior is with me in them, and through them I will come to know him more fully. Well, in an age of pandemic, our Lord did suffer greatly, and I think he could understand our... Now, some of us have suffered less, and some of us have suffered more, obviously, but there is a corporate suffering at the moment. I lost a Navy friend a few months ago to Corona. My father-in-law was very sick with it. So we do feel death stalking us. For sure. Very, very, very. So first, scriptural reference. Seems appropriate to come out of the book of Job, chapter 9, verses 32 to 35. For he is not a man like me, and I can answer him, that we can take each other to court. There is no mediator between us to lay his hand on both of us. Let him take his rod away from me, so his terror will no longer frighten me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but that is not the case. I am on my own. The next is Psalm 22:22-26. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him. But he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Next, of course, Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 7. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. The next is from the Gospel of the Lord according to St. Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Then Jesus left the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone." So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. The devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all this authority, because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. And the last scriptural verses is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through chapter 5, verse 10. So it's a good chunk. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. Because of this, he must make an offering for his own sins as well as for the people. No one takes this honor on himself. Instead, a person is called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father," also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was the Son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. After he was perfected, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He was declared by God a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. the word of the Lord. How do Jesus' sufferings help you? Jesus has experienced our sufferings, understands our sorrows, and is able to sympathize with our weakness. Therefore, I should bear my sufferings with perseverance and hope. For my Savior is with me in them, and through them I will come to know him more fully. The suffering servant in Isaiah, he bore upon himself our iniquity, our sins. He went into the desert, was tempted. He didn't eat for a very long time. I mean, most of us are cranky if we don't get a, you know, if we start to, you know, lunch is late, we start to get a little cranky. A full day, you know, it starts to gnaw at you. I don't know about your particular circumstances. I don't know if you, you know, grew up in childhood and suffered hungers as a child or privation as an adult at some point. But 40 days is quite a stretch. You know, he's lost a good amount of body weight. He's probably lost a little bit of muscle. You know, the hunger pangs might be gone, but the weakness is definitely there. So he's, you know, he's been stripped down to what, bare bones. I'm sure that's sort of partially true, literally and literally true, figuratively speaking. And the devil comes and tempts him in ways that sort of go beyond what would we be, you know. I remember somebody joking, you know, it's not like he had a pretty woman walk past Jesus. That's enough temptation for most of the men we know. No, these are, you know, these are serious testings of the range. And, you know, three are recorded. You get the sense that there were other temptations involved, but there's three main testings. And each time it's Satan is questioning his nature as the Son of God, or using scripture in a way that just slightly twists it. You know, he, you know, what's the joke that, you know, Satan uses the same old tricks because they keep working. You know, he twists what God says to talk to Eve, and if Eve doesn't respond back with what God actually said. And Jesus, of course, is giving us a template for how to deal with these afflictions. Even now I know my Redeemer lives. Even in the darkest trials, even then we know that our Redeemer lives. And my salvation is sure in him, because my hope is in the one who is able to save me, really save me. I'm completely incapable of saving myself. And our trust is in the one who saves. And that one, Jesus, suffered unjustly on the cross. I can think of no greater suffering to go through than to suffer unjustly, to be accused of something that you did not do, to suffer the punishment of something you did not do. And yet Jesus does that willingly. He comes from heaven to earth, to this terrestrial plane, lives a life as one of us, and dies on a cross unjustly. A truly innocent man, an utterly innocent man, going to the cross, suffering, dying. That's injustice. That's suffering. So Jesus has suffered far greater than any of us will ever. Sort of like the thief on the cross who realizes, you know, yeah, I'm being crucified. I'm being crucified because I have done wrong. But Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's the proper position, I think, in suffering is, you know, there's a way in which I might have caused the suffering of others, and it's not like I'm free of sin, that I'm being punished unjustly. Is it akin to like Al Capone? We couldn't get him on all the really bad stuff we did, so we got him on tax evasion. You know, there's a way in which sometimes I suffer. Maybe for something, but I'm sure there's plenty of things I should have suffered for and have gotten away with, or hurts that I caused that, you know, I don't know about, or I can only speculate about. Getting really esoteric. This is one of those things where this is one of the great proofs of God. He came down and suffered. You know, why is there sin in the world? Well, God comes in and walks through that sin-filled world to save us from that sin-filled world. God loves us that much. And you know, let us marvel at it. Let us marvel at it, rejoice in it. That's the kind of Savior I have. That's my Savior. That's my King. That's my Lord. Now turn back to Psalms, Psalm 22. In the Ancient Faith Study Bible that I have, there's a quote from Bede. And unfortunately, I was not able to find a longer selection. I would have had to have bought a book. there wasn't anything. I couldn't find anything online, at least in the time that I looked. So, Bede on 24, verse 24, which is, "For he has not despised or abhorred the torment of the oppressed. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help." And here's Bede the Venerable. "God does not reject or scorn the prayer of the poor when we entreat him for what he himself loves. But he graciously hears, and he will grant us to see his good things in the land of the living. Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God throughout all ages of ages." You know, we're not asking for something that God doesn't want to provide. He does not reject or scorn the prayer of the poor when we entreat him for something that he loves. I also find it interesting that, you know, sort of this image of the suffering is butted up against Psalm 23, you know, the Good Shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That psalm, that in that suffering, Jesus comes alongside us. I'm going to turn to the prayer book. For some reason, just in this discussion of sufferings and knowing that my sins have brought sufferings to others, let us go to a confession of sin. So I'm going to say the part that the priest says at the end, but that's reserved for a priest. But I think I just want to look at the words to see, look at that response. Let us confess our sins and against God and our neighbor. "Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And then a priest says, I am not a priest. It's a clarification. It's like I'm reading you read the rubric notes, right? Don't read those. I'm reading, Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Again, it's back to the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our forgiveness comes through the incarnation, life, suffering, passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. This, the suffering, you know, he was the suffering servant, and he's able to sympathize with us. He's able to sympathize with us because he suffered far greater than we did. We have. More coffee, Richard. He suffered far greater than any of us have. With that, I'm actually going to end this podcast. And let us ponder our sins and seek the forgiveness of a loving God and Father. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.